Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
I think we have a lot of boomer converts out there. I just read you one. I was once frightened by Greta, but after that wonderful interview, she has a place in my heart. So there you go. Greta has wormed her way into boomer hearts. Okay, time now for a few recommendations on what to watch on screens, big and small, over the next week. And freelance pop culture journalist Jen Gannon and Michael Doherty, movie editor of the RTE Guide, are with me today. And guys, you're both very welcome. So, Jen, The Crown is back. Mm. Bit more controversial this time.
Yeah, season 5. So that's taking place at the kind of end of the 80s and to the middle of the 90s. So you've got everything, the separation of Charles and Di, the Annus Horribilis, the Queen says it, it's amazing. You've got a bit of toe sucking from Fergie and obviously
the
Camilla and Charles tape and all of that, you know,
Squidgy
tampon
gate.
Talk. So The Crown is hilarious to me because, you know, the American reviewers and the American audience treat it with such reverence. And I think for me, it's essentially the UK's answer to Reeling in the Years, or their kind of We Didn't Start the Fire. And it's always interesting to me to see what Peter Morgan tries to squash into the show and actually what he leaves out. And that's as interesting too. And it's just a fever dream of a royal soap opera. And I think if you treat it as a soap opera, you're better off viewing it as that than a straightforward historical dramatisation, because that it is not. And I think we've gotten used to that over the years now, I think, with The Crown, that you have to see it through that prism. But I think audiences are going to have a different reaction to it, maybe since the death of the Queen. It opens, unfortunately, with the Queen getting a medical exam, which I think people might find a bit hard to take.
Yeah.
She's played by Imelda Staunton now. I mean, the dream team of season 3 and 4 are gone. So it's a new sweeping of the board. There's no Olivia Colman. There's no Josh O'Connor, who I thought was the best thing in The Crown as young Prince Charles, because he had the unenviable task of making, you know, him seem sympathetic, especially, you know, to his treatment of the young Diana. And you've no Helena Bonham Carter either as, you know, Princess Margaret, who she kind of made into this very chic, sultry version of Princess Margaret. So now
Princess Margaret was quite cool, I think everyone agrees.
She was like
the G&T and a fag and a good life.
The Irish, though.
Okay.
So wasn't a fan of us.
That's dropping on Netflix on Wednesday.
Wednesday, I think.
Okay. Michael, The English on BBC Two, which sounds like it could be similar to The Crown, but
it's not. It's basically it's a Western shot in Australia, but it's one of those TV or cinema as TV series. It's a 6-part series. It comes from the pen of Hugo Blick, who's an award-winning writer, The Honourable Woman, etc. But what the big sort of selling point is that Emily Blunt is the lead, and she's also the producer. So basically, it's a woman out west. It's like she's like a Dr. Quinn medicine woman, English woman. So she is the English of the title. Goes way out west to find somebody. It's a revenge drama, and she hooks up with local people, and it's sort of the journey she goes on, and she is saved by people around her. And it's one of those stories, but beautifully shot, and it's a starry cast, and I think it'll be one of those for the sort of Sunday evening viewers. It's one to be seen.
Okay, so that's on BBC Two, and it starts on Thursday.
Actually, it's on the evening drama that starts on Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Jen, The White Lotus is back for a second season, and this obviously a big lockdown hit. We've seen one of them. I think it looks promising, doesn't it?
I really like it. I think, you know, look, you're either going to connect with The White Lotus if you're a fan of that kind of television that has that really dark humour, and it's showing people at their very worst selves, like something like Succession. And you have to be prepared to be uncomfortable and go with it in that way, because I think that's what, you know, Mike White, his writing does. It's so satirical and so dark, and it strips away at everything. For like, I mean, last season, you know, it went through everything from, you know, race, gender, privilege, sexism. It was so I think this season
is very
more
digestible.
Also all very funny.
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing about it. And so this season you're in a resort in Sicily and you have this whole new batch of awful guests to get to grips with. You have 3 generations of one family. There's this randy old patriarch that's played by F. Murray Abraham, his wayward Hollywood producer son, Dominic, and that's the Sopranos, Michael Imperioli, and their grandson. And they're all there to try and, you know, go back to their roots, their Sicilian roots, but they're also there chasing their libidos. And that seems to be the biggest theme of this season. It's all about sex and power and the outsiders, because we always have these outsiders. It's like, you know, the upstairs, downstairs kind of routine where you have the guests and you have everybody around them. So the outsiders that they're focusing on this time is 2 local girls, Lucia, who is a sex worker, and she's hoping to land this very rich client, and Mia, who is a very nervous friend that she's trying to get in on this. And we know from the opening minutes of the first episode that bodies, plural, are swept up onto this idyllic, you know, beach, but we just are wondering, how did they get there and who are they? And it's really all about the grittier side of sex and relationships and, okay, you know, what are societal norms and what is the darkness that lies beneath.
You see, I didn't know there was all that in there, but it is enjoyable too. So The White Lotus season two, which is, I think there's one out and it's Sky Atlantic and now, and the new episode's coming every Sunday, isn't that right? Michael, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here starts tonight, so we let's lower the tone.
Short straw for me.
What do you reckon of the lineup this year?
Well, it's, for me, it's usual. I mean, there's one or two big names. There's a few people, I mean, I'm more familiar with some of the witchy grubs than I am with some of the participants. But obviously, Boy George is the big name and he's getting the big bucks, 500 grand. Matt Hancock then is getting the headlines because obviously, you know, he's lost the Tory whip and now he's gone into the jungle, which sort of worked for Penny Morton. She went on Splash and now she's the leader of the house. But people are wondering, because a lot of people who know him very well are saying he thinks he's sort of a cool guy.
Oh, God, okay, and, great.
You know, and they know that he's not that cool and they're sort of, they're biting.
Excellent.
They're sort of
so it's going to be David Brent in the jungle, essentially.
Like, somebody upset David Brent in the jungle.
He's going to be tortured, because this is the opportunity for them to vote him constantly. It's the most he's ever going to be voted for anything, I think, just to do these trials.
But if he does them well, it could be a
Carol Thatcher situation. She won, you know, let's not forget. So he could turn it around, but I very much doubt it.
That's the usual sort of soap stars and reality people who I wouldn't know if they were sitting opposite me, I'm afraid.
I would put my bets on Olivia Atwood. She was in Love Island and she was one of the cleverest and funniest contestants on Love Island ever, so I can see her making a good ground in there, definitely.
Okay, so that Virgin Media and ITV tonight, and we will speak of little else, I think, in certain quarters for the next, I don't know, is it 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
It's longer. Four or five.
Okay. Jen, you don't often see a documentary series getting a second season. So season two of The Vow, which is on Sky Documentaries, what is it?
So that's, and it's streaming on now as well. So it's the second season of the documentary about the demise of the Nixium Group. People might know them because they were in the paper, you know, last year about their secret society, like a cult of Brandon women. And they, it was like a sex cult, they were saying. And one of the Smallville actresses was part of it. And the first season kind of delved into the lives of some of those who were involved in it. It was all about, you know, sexual coercion and all of that and the legal proceedings against the organiser.
Was it good?
The leader, Keith Raniere. Now, I will say about Keith Raniere, he is like the Ned Flanders of cult leaders. So it's very uncool. It's really like a multi-level programme of self-improvement. So it's kind of like a cult based on flip charts. I mean, so it's very strange that people would get involved in this, but they feel like it's a, you know, there's executive success programmes. So that's the kind of basis of this cult. So the second season goes into his trial. It's courtroom heavy, but it's also about the people left behind and those who are indoctrinated into the cult and are trying to, you know, get on with normal life. And the small band of followers that he still has that stand outside his prison, you know, daily and try and, you know, talk about him with a lot of reverence and love and affection. So it's really interesting, I have to say.
Okay, and so the first one is obviously
the first one's
back
already
and having
there.
A look if people haven't seen it. Okay, Michael. Cinemas now, the Lyra McKee documentary is in cinemas now and very powerful,
I gather. Stuff. I mean, of all we're talking about a lot of stuff that's coming on pop culture, but this is the one. This is the one not to be missed. It's a remarkable documentary. Alison Miller, who was a friend of Lyra and her family, people will remember Lyra McKee was a very impressive, very young investigative journalist. Started off as, when she was 14, she wrote a letter to my 14-year-old self, which made waves. She did TED Talks. She was amongst Forbes' top people under 30. And she really was. She described herself as the most annoyingly curious person I know. She was a journalist on the rise. And she was attending the riot in Craigan when a stray bullet killed her. People will remember that. And this is her story. A lot of people wanted to make the documentary, but it was Alison Miller because she was actually a friend of the family. And that really shows, because you can see the family embrace Alison and Alison's camera. And because this is a young woman, when you see documentaries about older people, you're using archive footage and not very much to go on. But because this is a woman who lived on social media and this is a woman who chronicled everything. So we have her life in her own words and in her own images. And she's a remarkable woman. And I think it's just a superb, superb documentary. It really makes you think. And it's...
And worth going to the cinema for.
Oh, completely, yes. Yeah. It's beautifully shot and it's just, you know... This is an amazing woman who deserves to be remembered.
Okay, and that's called Lyra and it's out now. Jen, 30 seconds, yeah. A friend of the family.
Basically, if you haven't watched the Netflix documentary Abducted in Plain Sight, watch it tonight. It's jaw-dropping. And I mean that truly. So this is, A Friend of the Family is the drama based on those events concerning this blindly naive Mormon family called the Brobergs in the 1970s. And they were devout and they made friends with their neighbours, the Burchholds, and a very charismatic patriarch, Robert Burchold, known as B. And Robert ends up, has a particular interest in the Brobergs' 12-year-old daughter, Jan, and he ends up kidnapping her. And that's the basic story that I can say. But it stars Jake Lacy as B, and he's doing this great line in All-American Jerks, like we've seen him in the first season of The White Lotus, okay. And Girls. And it's really sinister, but it has a very gauzy dreamlike quality. It deserves okay. to so be a drama series.
Highly
definitely.
Recommending it.
Yes.
Okay, Friend of the Family, and that's on now. And it's,
it is streaming
there.
Yeah.
And you find it somewhere on your Sky as well. Okay, Jen Gannon and Michael Doherty, thanks a million for that. That's all we have time for today. Just a reminder, you can listen back to all items from today's show on our podcast at rte.ie/Brendan. Today's show was produced by Emma McNamara. Research was by Katrina McFadden and Michelle Brown. Stephen Higgins was the broadcast coordinator and Ruth Kennington was on sound. And the deluxe edition of Revolver by the Beatles is out. This is Here, There and Everywhere. Take 6.
1, 2, 3. To lead a better life, I need my love to be here. Here, making each day of the year, changing my life with a wave of her hand. Nobody can deny that there's something there. There, someone is speaking, but she doesn't know he's there. I want her everywhere, and if she's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love her is to need her everywhere, knowing that love is to share. Each one watching her eyes and hoping I'm always there. I need her everywhere, and if she's beside me, I know I need never care. Little lover is to need her everywhere, knowing that love is to share. Each one be watching their eyes and hoping I'm always there. I'll be there and everywhere. Here.
Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.